this gives me a great opportunity, seeing how it's July 4th, to talk about Christian nationalism and to talk about it from the perspective that I honestly have always had about it. And and here's what triggered my thought about it. One of my pastor groups that I'm in, one of the pastors, and he's one of the more influential guys, so when he puts a question out there, all of us underlings are supposed to answer. And so he said, what are you most thankful about as it relates to this country or something like that? You know, what are you personally most thankful for when you think about America or something? And so my answer was, I'm glad God put me here. That's it. Because, and of course, then I got, there was a bunch of feedback that came under my, I'm glad God put me here. Let me just say about that. I've been all over the world. Some of you have, but I honestly have been to, you know, Australia, New Zealand, Asia, Africa, Europe, everywhere. And some places I've visited for quite a while. I've been to some of those places numerous times. I've been to the Philippines 4 or 5 times, India 4 or 5 times, Africa 3 times, you know. I mean, so I've been around those type places. And I'm glad God put me in America. And I'm not glad that he put me in America because I think that we're better than anybody. I just am glad that he put me in America. I'm glad what America was founded on and what she's stuck to over the years, and to be honest, what I think is at risk. But I'm glad that God birthed me here. But I have dear friends all over the globe, and they're also glad that God birthed them where they are. You know, I had a friend. You guys remember the India trip that we took, where everybody got bad sick, and we almost killed everybody on the trip or something. We were trying to, or something like that, and or it felt like it. And let me tell you a gross story.
No.
Yes.
Andy knows the story already. This is the, there's a lot of doctrine in the airport going on, I'll say it that way. And literally Matt's running to the dispensary at the airport, getting IV bags. We had some guys so sick, giving IVs in the airport, giving suppositories in the airport. We were sick. Okay, well, my whole point is that guy that's there, Indian national, born and raised in India, you know, kind of chuckles when we say, oh, you know, we're the greatest country in the world. He goes, yeah, we think so too. You know what I mean? So, I mean, like, it doesn't matter. And guess what? He's thankful that God birthed him where he is, you know. And so, what is that about? Well, there's a verse in Acts that says that God planned and purposed that each of us would be born where we were born. And I'm thankful that God purposed me to be born here. Thankful that God purposed me to be born in this nation. Thankful for the freedoms that it has as opposed to other nations. It's a Western country, which means most of the countries in what's called the West have similar freedoms to us, but I'm thankful. I'm thankful for our country, and I want to talk about though. But even though I'm thankful for our country and I'm proud to be an American, as Lee Greenwood once said, and made a lot of money, and the question that I want us to answer or think about just devotionally for a second together is, how, though, do Christians live in a country, in any country, in India, in Australia, in America, Canada, Africa, Mexico? How do Christians live in nations? How do Christians live in nations? So I thought that I would read, start here maybe. This is Psalm 33. It's a fairly common it's a fairly common passage or scripture that's quoted on July 4th. Let me read it to you. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Okay, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. It kind of makes you think, if you don't read the verse in its context, it kind of makes you think that if a nation will yield itself to God and will allow God to rule over it, that nation will be blessed, right? Well, and that, by the way, is true, I guess you would say, but I'll ask you this. Has there ever been such a nation? That's right, there hasn't. But there was one nation. There was one nation. And the reason that nation's God was the Lord was because of what? And the rest, the second half of the verse tells you the rest of the story. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. Okay, so now let me say this as a start before I head over to our main text. But let me say this as a start. So the nation of Israel was chosen by God. God said very specifically in Deuteronomy 6 and 8 that he didn't choose them because they were special. He didn't choose them because they behaved better than other nations. He didn't choose them for any reason except he set his eye on them and he chose them. Out of his love, he chose them. That was it, right? And, well, let me say it another way that may make sense to you. They were sinners too, right? And so, so let me say it another way. I always said that Abraham's next door neighbor was likely Bubba. And God could have chosen Bubba just the same as he chose Abraham to make a nation out of. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So, but he chose who? But that's right. He chose Abraham. And he chose that seed from which to bring his son. And that nation is the nation that God chose. And that nation is the nation who's blessed. Because their God is Jehovah. Because he chose them as his special inheritance. Does that make sense? But that's not the whole story either, is it? Because what does the Old Testament do? Always 100% of the time. The Old Testament dramatizes the spiritual realities of the New Testament. Does that make sense, everybody?
Yeah.
Okay, so then what was God dramatizing? There is a people, and they're a nation, and they're a blessed nation, and they're my people. Now, what do we know in the New Testament? In the New Testament, we know that that people is going to be chosen from every tribe and every kindred and every tongue, right? That is, God was even going to choose people out of our nation. And what is the nation then, to use the Psalm 33 passage properly, what is the nation now whose God is the Lord? What is the nation? The church. That's right. Spiritual Israel. It is the nation whose God is the Lord. Why is spiritual Israel, how come we are? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. It's spiritual Israel, meaning the church, right? Meaning the bride of Christ, right? And why is it that we are special? The exact same reason that Israel was special was because we're the chosen people of God, his inheritance. Does that make sense? And so we're the nation of God. We're the nation of God. I'm going to tie this all together. I'm just laying out the background. Listen to how Peter says it. We've already studied this in detail, but let me read it to you again. Coming to him as a living stone, indeed rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious, this is Jesus. You also, church, are living stones, and you're being built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say that you are the chosen generation. You are the royal priesthood. You are the holy what? Nation. Exactly. You, the people of God, are the holy nation. And so what we are is we are a nation, we, the people of God, spiritual Israel, the church, across the entire globe, are a nation that has been chosen by God. And we are the holy people. We're His own special people, He said. We're His own special people. What is our job? That we may proclaim the praises of Him who called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Once we weren't a people. And what does that mean? That means that once we had no way of seeing ourselves together as one. Does that make sense? As a holy nation. And I want you to think of this. That the holy nation now, the nation who's blessed and whose God is the Lord. Not maybe the Lord, like we're making Him our Lord. He is the Lord of His holy people, who He has chosen as an inheritance, right? And so we're blessed. Why? We're not blessed because we get our act together and submit to His Lordship. We're blessed because He's our Lord. And He chose us as His own special inheritance. And that's what makes our blessing. And we're a holy nation. And everybody who's in that holy nation, we weren't a people. We didn't know that we were aggregated and pulled together under this thing called the people of God. But then after Pentecost, and God showed the Israelite nation that he actually prophesied about it in the old, that we would, you know, that Jesus would be a blessing also to the Gentiles, right? So it's not like that it wasn't prophesied about it, and it's not like it wasn't dramatized, because even people that were outside of Israel could come to Israel if they were circumcised and all those sort of things, right? So it was also dramatized in the nation of Israel. But definitely after Pentecost, when God gave His church, when His Holy Spirit, to all the peoples from, to the chosen people from every nation and every tribe and every tongue, right? And He gathered us together and He made us His people, a holy nation. And so we're a holy nation. And so that's our true nationality, if you will. Does that make sense? We're the church. We're the holy nation of God. But God places His people. He chooses us from nations, right? So He places us in nations. Okay, so let me give you a metaphor of this. And by the way, it's interesting. It's not even a metaphor. It's actually a real thing. I'm only saying it's a metaphor because I'm going to mess it up. So I don't want you detail guys. Hank, Jackie, you know, I don't know who's the detail person in your relationship. You or you? I mean, like, who picks on the details? You, Jordan, who's the detail? Andy, none of you detail guys. You know, y'all don't hold me to any facts here. I'm just going to lay the big picture out. I promise you I'm going to get the big picture right, but I'm not going to get the details right, so don't pick on me. Okay, here's the thing. The United Kingdom. So I watched, what was that show we watched, honey, for several seasons? The Crown or something like that? The Crown, right? And so the United Kingdom, right, it's a kingdom. And it's all under the what? Crown. Right? It's under the crown. So all of these individual nations are still, though, under the crown, if you will. Does that make sense? And am I right about this, guys? That's right. Right? I've got that kind of sort of straight for those of you who follow that. Okay. So what happens is that, you know, if you're a Canadian citizen, for instance, you're a Canadian citizen, you have your own government, you have this and that and the next thing, but you're still under the crown. And there's an interesting thing that I heard a Canadian professor say on one of my podcasts, and he said this: it would do well if America would have someone to submit to that's higher than their president. Like, in other words, they were talking about the prime minister. When the prime minister goes into his office or something, there's some sort of custom that they do where they have to bow the knee, if you will, to the queen. And what is the queen representative of? She's representative of that thing that is above him, that represents all the people. Does that make sense? On behalf of who?
God.
God, because she's also the what?
Protector of the faith.
Protector of the faith, exactly. And she's also the head of the Church of England, right? I mean, you know, and all this stuff is mushy now, but that was what it really fiercely was when it was really shaped, right? And so what was the point of it? Well, the point of it was that what if we had some sort of, you know, a Uncle Sam wants you that was standing there dressed up in an Uncle Sam uniform, who represented the people, and who represented the people, and who said that their God gave them certain inalienable rights that you're only here to preserve and protect. You know what I mean? And that every time the president walked in his office, he had to bow the knee to this representative model who represented the inalienable rights that were given by God to the people of America. Does that make sense? Well, and so my whole point of that is this. That's how we should see ourselves in America. That we're a nation. We're a spiritual nation. Inside a nation, and my allegiance and my loyalty is to my king in his kingdom. Seek ye first the what?
Kingdom of God.
Yeah, kingdom of God. And I'm a what? I'm a citizen of that country. The Bible says I'm a citizen already of that country, right? And so it's a place, it's not a place, but it's a people, right? And the people that God himself calls us a nation. And God himself calls us a kingdom, like the United Kingdom. And God himself says he's the king over the kingdom. Jesus Christ is the king of kings and the Lord of lords, right? And so he's the king over all the kingdoms. But he's the king also, particularly over his people in the kingdoms. Does that make sense? It's not like he doesn't have a sway and a rule over all the kingdoms of the world. He sure does. He is the sovereign, and there's no doubt about it. But in particular, we're the chosen nation. We're the people of God, and our allegiance is to God. Our allegiance is to our king in his kingdom, in this holy nation, and the holy nation. So here's the deal. Are you part of the nation? Are you a nationalist? Are you part of the nation? Yes, I'm a part of the holy nation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my king, and he is the king of kings, but he very particularly is my king. My knee is bowed to him, right? And that's why when we saw these little ruffle-ups in Acts, that Peter would say, render unto Caesar what Caesar's. No, Jesus would say, when that happened with taxes, render unto Caesar what Caesar's, but unto God what's God's. But then when they were being persecuted, he would say, you have to figure out, whether or not you want to serve. But I've got to do what my king told me to do, which was to preach the gospel, to proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So when they told him to shut up, when they said it's against the national law for you to proclaim the gospel, then he said, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I can't do that. I have to obey God rather than man. Isn't that what he said? So that's where this conflict comes. And sometimes there's a conflict where between my holy nation and the nation that God permitted me to be in. So let me just say this about nations in general. I'll give you this from a prison talk that I had with a bunch of prisoners. I just asked them and said, how many of you feel like that you were treated exactly justly through your entire process? Not a single one raised their hand. So every single one of you feel like that at some point along the way you were treated with some degree of injustice. Yes. How many of you think that you were guilty of the crimes? Oh, we were all guilty, but we were still treated unjustly. You know what I mean? There was some way that we didn't get a fair shake or something is what they were saying. And if I went through the way that was like, I'll give you an example of mine. I sold drugs, but here's a guy sitting right beside me who murdered somebody, and he got 3 years and I got 15, or something like that. So the system let me down. So I asked him this. I said, do you know why it let you down? Do you know why it let you down? Why it wasn't just? Do y'all know why?
The system of man.
Human. Yeah, that's it. The system was written by who?
Man.
Sinners. Right?
Yep.
And it's being supervised by sinners. Right? And by the way, and you are also a sinner who's fallen underneath it. Right? In other words, you're a sinner, but so are they who wrote it, but still, what does the Lord say? But I asked him, I said this was the lesson.
I said, but even then, we were in Romans 12, I said, I mean 13, I said, even then, even though we know that there's no perfect nation except the nation that we have been inherited and that we will end up in someday, right? There's no perfect nation, but God still tells us to do what?
Obey.
That's right. Submit to the king, honor, and not just submit to him, but what?
Honor.
That's honor the king. Right? Why? Why would God tell us to honor the king? Hasn't there been some kings in our country who haven't been very honorable? I mean, just think about over the years. You don't have to think about any, you know. Wouldn't you say there's been some kings that have been less than honorable? Just from your own perspective. But God still tells you to honor him. How come?
God put him in.
Yeah, that's it. God put him in their place. Let me ask you, wives. Hasn't it been sometimes that your husbands haven't been quite so honorable? Okay, only one person said yes. Anybody else? Want to just be honest here? Come, okay, well, Andy didn't get to do it, but his wife won't, by the way. And so, listen, yes, all of your husbands have not been honorable, right? And you may say that the general track of their life has been, but, boy, we've blown it time and again, haven't we? But you know what? My wife has honored me even when I wasn't honorable. Why? Because she knew that God put me where I was. And she knew that the way that she would value me and the esteem that she would hold me in, even when I wasn't acting like I ought to act, would be what she was supposed to do, but also as a benefit to me. It literally raised me up out of the depth. It made me want to be who she was honoring me to be. Does that make sense? That might have been a little psychological, but it is true. It works. And you can try that out on your husbands if you haven't done that yet. And I mean, it really is that when we, but right, because it's not, and this goes back to the conversation that I have about love. This is a kind of a, you know, marriage counseling 101, maybe premarital counseling is where it ought to be. Marriage counseling 101. I don't love my spouse because she loves me back. Or I don't love my spouse in order to get her to love me. I love my spouse because I've been loved by God. And the love that God has poured abroad in my heart, Romans 5:5, it goes through me and out to my wife. So I don't need my wife to love me. And that way we never have to play the little keeping score game. Oh, well, honey, you only love me about a 30% today, so you're only getting 30. How about that? You know, but that's what we do, right? We keep score. We keep score. Oh, okay, so you're just not going to love me? Well, guess what? I ain't loving you. You know, and we have this little keeping score thing, right? We do that with honor, too. We do that with honor, too. And what we do is we fail to realize that I've been loved by God, and that's why I love my wife, because God told me to, and he provided the love. If I'm waiting for her to provide me the love, some days I'm not going to love my wife because she's not going to be able to show up for me. And guess when the very day she needs me to love her? On the day she's not going to be able to show up for me. And I'm telling you, that's why God baked these things into the cake. You honor because God put that person there. And that's how he established the order of the whole country and the family and all this kind of stuff. And that's what he did. And so we do that even when they're not honorable. And what is the honorable thing that I can do? He's not acting out according to your glory, God. And we pray for him. Pray for those. The Bible says in Timothy to pray for those who are in power and authority so that we can have peaceable and godly lives and carry on about our business, right? And so that's it. So we love where God put us. We're particularly privileged and blessed among all the nations. I mean, we could put hashtag first world problems by every one of our problems. We really could. And for those of you who aren't hip to all that, ask me after, I'll explain it to you. But we really could put hashtag first word problems after everything. And so I'll say this. What was the African country that you went to?
Sudan.
Go there if you want to, if you want to end up, just go there for a week, and then you'll come back and realize that every one of your problems are first world problems. You don't have
first
world
problems. World.
First world problems. Yeah. In other words, you know, we're privileged and have no clue at all. Even our worst unprivileged people are more privileged than people where, you know, around the world. So, okay. But here's the point. My job is I'm supposed to live as if I'm a part of a nation that completely transcends the United States of America. And while we love it and we celebrate it, and we should, fight for it and do all the things that you're supposed to do for your nation. But let me say this. The nation that is the nation whose God is the Lord, the nation who is the blessed nation, is the one who has been chosen by God to be his inheritance. And we're part of that nation, and that's the special nation. That's his special people. That's his chosen nation. That's his royal priesthood, right? And so he didn't even choose us and let us be laborers in the nation. He, like, called us all to be priests, you know? And what was the duty of the priest, right? Well, the duty of the priest was kind of to stand between God and man, right? I mean, to be the representative, if you will. And so what is the holy nation inside the nation of America supposed to be? We're supposed to represent our king. We're supposed to be the... Okay, here's a... I don't know which denomination this comes from. This is a youth thing. Wednesday night youth thing in some denomination. Royal ambassadors. What do you know what denomination
it's
that
Baptist.
Is?
Baptist.
Oh, that's Baptist.
Oh, is it? I thought it might be Assembly of God. What are they? I don't know. Anyway, okay, it's royal ambassadors, right? But we really are that, right? We're ambassadors to the king, right? And we're a nation that's supposed to represent the king. And represent the king to who? That's right, to everybody else in this nation that God put us in. That we're thankful that he put us in. And that we live beneficiaries of, right? And so we're supposed to do that. To call people out of the darkness into his marvelous light. And how do we call them out? By the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the means by which God uses to represent his people and to call them to himself. Okay, Angel said, when I stand up, we're done. And so she did. So okay, so happy 4th of July. I'm so glad that you showed up. This is a first time for us. First time we've done Gathering Without Music. First time we've done it without all our little bells and whistles that we do. First time we've done it on 4th of July. And you chosen people showed up here out of the great nation, the holy nation. And you came to represent that nation and to hear from the Lord. And I hope that you've heard from him. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The nation who is his chosen people, who are his inheritance. That's the nation whose God is the Lord. And that's us, the holy nation, the church, spiritual Israel, the nation of God. Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful. We come to you just completely, okay, Lord, I'm going to put you on pause and say one more thing. Okay, listen, here's the deal. I put the prayer on pause, so the Lord's fine with that. I wanted you to say this. Think about this as it relates to first world problems. If we in America who've been abroad know that this is any of our problems are first world problems, think about it from the perspective of being in a holy nation where we know that our inheritance is that every tear is going to be wiped away. We know that we're going to be in a place that literally there is no more sin. We know that we're going to be in a place where literally our bodies are going to be restored to perfection. We know that we are going to walk on streets that are gold. I mean, this is, you think that America has first world problems? Think about the holy nation. how you ought to think about yourself as a holy nation people. Okay, Lord, I'm going to keep talking to you. So thank you for that. And we're thankful that you put us in a country that is so excellent and has done a good job for a long time to represent you and your gospel. And I pray, Lord, for us that we wouldn't start looking to ourselves and fall apart. And I pray that the church, your holy nation inside this nation, would declare your marvelous light and would stand for you and stand up for you and represent you well as ambassadors in this hope, in this nation that you've given us. And I'm thankful, Lord, that you chose us to be in a nation who has a king who has sacrificed his own blood for his people, who has called us all to himself, who has made us perfect and holy and good, and who will reign over us forever in absolute glory and splendor and perfection. And we're glad about that. In Christ's name, amen.